There is a picture that a friend of mine gave me. It's of a laughing Jesus, which I don't think I'm going to get to show. His head is thrown back. His face is wrinkled in a laugh. And you just trust that he has slapped his knee and something so funny that he couldn't help himself has happened. And it's a full out laugh. Nowhere. Nowhere in the biblical text does it tell us that Jesus laughed. Is our religion, is our faith so serious that he'd never laugh? I don't think so. And I think I can prove it. You see, that text that Vicki read from the 65th chapter of Isaiah is at the end of their story. But if you go back to the first chapter of Isaiah, this is what you'll hear. Hear me, you heavens, listen, earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they've rebelled against me. The ox knows his master, the donkey knows its manager, but Israel does not know me. My people will not listen. They do not understand. Woe to this sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. That's the first chapter of Isaiah. And it doesn't get any better. Four chapters. For 29, 39 chapters, God says to the people of Isaiah's time, listen, listen, I want you to dance with me. I want you to live the life that I have ordered for you, but they will not. And in the 24th chapter of Isaiah, it says, if you will not listen, the earth will dry up and wither. The world will languish. The heavens will languish. You will have defiled my creation and disobeyed my laws, and a curse will consume the earth. Hadn't happened yet. Chapter 24. But God is begging God's people, please, please come. But they don't. And the next thing that happens in Isaiah's time in Israel's history is that Assyria comes to take them over, and they escape that debacle. But then Babylon shows up, and Babylon comes and takes them into captivity. For 70 years, they are caught in the exile of the Babylonian time when they cannot see their temple. It's in ruins. They cannot worship in the way they've always worshiped. They aren't even sure their God is present. They say to God from the Psalms, how can I sing a song of Zion in a strange land? Captive. Held because they would not listen. In the 40th chapter of Isaiah, though, while they are in exile, in the 40th chapter, we hear the prophet say to God's people, comfort ye my people. Your hard service is accomplished. I will repay you not with more punishment, but your hard service is over. So by the time we get to the 65th chapter. You heard Vicki read it. God says, I've punished you enough. You are now going to be free. In fact, I'm going to start all over with you, Israel. I'm going to start all over with you. I'm going to create a new heaven and a new earth. I'm going to release you from your captivity. I'm going to make sure that weeping and mourning are never heard here anymore. And I'm not even going to think about your sin anymore. It will not be remembered. It is forgiven completely. In the 65th chapter of Isaiah, God uses the word rejoice twice. He uses the word rejoice, but he uses it in a special way. There are 9 words in the Old Testament that can be used for our English word rejoice. One of them is ranan, which means to be happy. One of them is samak, which means to exult. One of them actually means to flap around like an ostrich. But there is one word for rejoice that is used only 24 times. It is gahil. And it means to leap up and spin around as if in a dance. To leap up and spin around as if in a dance. And in the 65th chapter of Isaiah, that's the word, not ranan, not samak, but gehil that Isaiah uses. So if we were to reread that text, it would be God saying to Israel, you see, I'm going to create a new heaven and earth. Former things will not be remembered. They won't come to mind. But Israel, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be glad and leap up and spin around as if in a dance forever. God is inviting Israel with a technical term to dance. Why? Because God has chosen to forgive them. Why? Because they paid the price of the exile. Why? Because they have been made new. They can leap up and dance because everything that would have pulled them down, everything that would have kept them in captivity has been broken and they are free. Come on, Israel, I love you enough to make this all new. Come on, Israel, come back and receive my embrace and my love. Come on, Israel. In fact, come on and dance. That's how happy I want you to be. But it doesn't end there. Because Isaiah continues that text. And the next line is, I will create Jerusalem to be a delight for its people. It will be my joy. God says, I will rejoice. I will gehil. God says, I will leap up and spin around as if in a dance. In those few verses in Isaiah, God says, I love you so much. I have forgiven you. I want you to dance. And God says, I'll dance with you. Have you ever seen a little one when you put on music and they just begin to shake? It can look spastic like I just did. I know that. But have you ever seen their face when they are dancing? I dare you to sing the hokey pokey to a 5-year-old. There is joy. In the movement of the body, there is joy. In the gift of the connection with the rhythm of the sound, there is joy. And God is saying to Israel who would not listen, to Israel who turned their back, God is saying, let's dance. There's a party because my love for you can overcome your unwillingness to follow me. Dance, Israel, not because you're perfect, but because I have perfectly forgiven you. Dance, Israel, not because you suffered the consequences, but because I was with you and you came through the consequences. Dance, and I, your God, will dance with you. Beloved, I believe God is calling us to dance. I know what our world looks like. I watched the news last night and this morning. I know there is mayhem and killing. I saw the story from Taiwan of the buildings falling. I heard the story firsthand about Flint, Michigan yesterday and the sin of so many to put children in jeopardy. I know that if you look out the windows, you might not think it's time to dance. But you and I are called to live outside of the cultural norms. We are called to not be held by the cultural norms. We are called to trust not what we see out there, but what we know and feel in here. We're called to dance in the midst of the difficulty that we might bring joy, that we might believe that God is dancing with us. And I know some of you say, hold up, have you ever seen me dance? Yeah, well, we actually had a parents' prom. There are people in this church who've seen me dance. I'm pretty good at it, actually. But I know there are others who say, I can't dance. And I want to tell you, you are not correct. And I can show you how Paul makes that clear to me in that letter to the church at Corinth. Because you see, what Vicky read is oh so true. It says that everyone has been given spiritual gifts. No one has been left out. The fourth verse is so clear. God has chosen to give everyone gifts. And gifts not just for your own benefit, but for the common good. So we dance not just like that small child to bring joy into our own hearts. We dance for the common good. We dance so that the world will see joy is not gone away completely. And you can dance in the way God has given you. That text is so beautiful. It starts by saying there are many, many gifts. Have you ever watched Natalia play? That is a dance if I've ever seen one. Her gift is this instrument. She dances at this instrument. I was listening to Theo sing this morning. That is among his gifts. He was dancing as he sang. You dance as you Marlene, wherever you dance as you bake, my sister. You dance in the way God has given you gifts. Dr. Hennigan is a physician, a woman of healing. She dances as she works with her clients. Jackie was a teacher. Jenny was a teacher. John was a teacher. You dance. That's your way of dancing. So the text tells us there are many gifts. Everyone has a gift. And the text tells us there are many activities. That means there are many places where we apply these gifts. You might do them right here in the church. It might be somewhere in the community. It might be in your home. It might be in your job. Wherever your gift can bring that joy, that sense of leaping up and spinning around, you dance. And we dance for many reasons. We dance because the world would tell us to have heavy hearts and be sad. We dance because it looks like things are falling apart across the globe. We dance because we defy belief. There dance with this God who says, I'll dance with you. Dance. No matter how it might look to the world, for you've been given a gift and a way to dance. Dance, because the one who created you put rhythm and music and movement in your being that you might take it and be a blessing to the world. Jesus says in the last verse of that song, they hung me high, but I leapt up because I'm the life that will never, ever die. And he promises, I'll dance in you if you dance with me. Jesus tells us, I'm the Lord of the dance. Said he, Gehiel, God danced with Israel. Gehiel, God invites us to dance. Beloved, know the sound of God's Spirit in your being. That's our music. Know the movement of your body to make this world a better place. That's our dance. And come to the table where you might gain strength and might see your partners so that together we might find our way to dance in the world. That's what I believe we are called to do. That's what I believe we are equipped to do. May we dance with freedom and joy because we have been redeemed and called to the dance by our God who loves us. Amen.